with your son.
We're good.
Okay, we'll call the commission back to order. And Alexis, you can continue. I think we're on 925.
Yes, 925, considering development of financial literacy scholarships. This is what Brandy talked about briefly. So they can, people that are receiving county funding can attend HUD-approved counseling for housing.
Wait, that was 92 what?
9251.
Okay, because, oh, I was looking at the ESL thing, so.
Okay.
I'm good. You okay, Bob?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Partner with advocacy groups such as La Esperanza to determine barriers and opportunities for the expansion of housing opportunities for ESL populations.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Continue to implement the county's language plan. Do you want to say anything about that, Brad?
What is the language plan?
Yeah, I know we had a language plan.
We've got it in place. It's not been completely launched yet. But we're just waiting for the county council and the county administrator to give us the go ahead on that. So we have the limited English proficiency plan in place. We have translation services both for written documents and phone calls. We have that on all the county phones. So we're just looking to keep that up.
And that's principally Spanish to English.
The language services will do either one. Most of the documents we transferred have been in Spanish. And we do have several people that are living around the county. Our office has a young man who can translate too. So,
you ever need emergency services? Kim's pretty good at that.
I think.
Yeah. See. See?
Je parle français. That's see,
there you
help
go.
Here.
Okay, you got the French now.
Yeah. Okay, 9261, you've seen this one before, community design about determining modifications are needed to permit new styles of houses such as tiny house construction.
Alexis, yep. And, is your mic on?
Oh, yeah.
We dropped it earlier.
John to the rescue.
And during the break, someone approached, I guess, Bob about co-housing potentially here.
Yeah.
Bob,
yeah,
do you think this would be a place where maybe we should try to consider that too under new styles of housing?
What's co-housing?
A lot of people living in one house.
Yeah.
Well,
for like sharing
sort of.
I get that part, but I mean, would you?
What the concept that
just
was
sure what exactly
shown to us some years ago was small houses that are built around a kind of a community building like situation. So you had like a really large living room and a game room and stuff in the center of the development, and then ringing around that room or that space are small houses, not tiny houses, but small houses, and the access to them is probably from vehicular access is from the back, and it's a concept, you know.
It's the one where it's like higher density. It's usually transportation facilities are available, and that's
yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it exactly. Yeah.
So it sounds almost like an agri-hood where it's centered around some sort of community activity center.
The way it was
center
presented to us, too, was also, I think, I don't know if aging in place is the right way, but aging in location.
Aging in location.
So is that worth calling out specifically in the strategy or somewhere in the chapter, the co-housing?
I think so. Just to at least acknowledge that we've heard them and that we are asking it to be considered, you know, among the new, you know, housing types.
Okay.
But if we're going to mention tiny houses, I think we should mention co-housing as well.
Okay. So under the other goal about fair housing, Evaluate the current county code to determine if any regulatory barriers exist that impede development of multifamily and affordable housing.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Continue to collaborate with developers through the county planning offices.
Can we go back to that one? I would say just on that, that's something, because we try to do it, I would say evaluate on an ongoing basis current county code.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
Is that something we ought to be always doing? And we're kind of always doing stuff like that anyway, but.
Okay. Continue to collaborate with developers through the county planning office's pre-submission meetings to support the expansion of affordable housing. Is there anything, Janelle, you wanted to say about that?
Nope. Typically, before you submit a subdivision, actually the code requires them to meet with somebody from the planning office, and we actually go through and provide fair housing and affordable housing information, and I always, you know, because it's part of our subdivision application right now, is the information about affordable housing, the affordable housing programs, affordable rental programs. So we're going to look into continue to do that.
And that's probably a good spot if we're going to tie it back to, what was it, you know, new house styles or innovative ways of integrating affordable housing. That's a good way to try to pitch that when somebody comes in early in the process rather than at the planning zoning hearing when they've already designed the thing. So.
Promote the use of DSHA's areas of opportunity maps when making land use decisions and identifying housing strategies for different areas of the county. So Janelle and Brandy, one of you guys want to talk about how you currently use it?
So this is, and I actually invite you to, maybe at another time we can pull this up and make it an interactive, but it's through the Delaware State Housing Authority's website, and it's an interactive tool that you can kind of play around with.
We can do it now.
Oh, if you want to. Well, you've already messed with us, so you're familiar with how it works.
It has different layers you turn on and off, and you can zoom in.
So it's basically, so these are what Amy sort of pointed to earlier as well, and you can see those yellow areas on the eastern side where there's, and this, from what I understand, and DSHA is obviously the better spokesperson, but these areas of opportunity are based on school success, you know, the qualities of the school systems, availability of infrastructure, transportation, all of that is all taken into account when coming up with these boundaries and layers, and so the yellow side has all those really that good infrastructure and strong markets, as Amy was referring to earlier. So in the yellow is where you want to direct more affordable housing, more affordable rental housing, because there isn't hardly any at all. And then on the western side, you can see there's already a significant amount of affordable rentals, so that's where you would actually want to encourage home ownership because there's already rentals, affordable rentals, so we want to encourage sort of the counterpart to that, which is home ownership. So home ownership is really strong on the eastern side, so that's why we want to encourage the rental there.
Okay, and then so you're not planning on putting the map in the narrative?
No.
Area, no?
I wonder about changing the words land use to housing decisions, because land use is pretty broad. You're really going to use it to make land use decisions, or are you going to use it to decide where you're going to do housing?
Well, I'm not sure how that...
Well, I mean,
it could impact change of zone applications, exactly. Conditional use applications.
Right.
Maybe land use and housing.
Utilities. It could impact economic development.
It seems to me, too, I just would say, I was thinking about this, so if we're trying to promote home ownership on the blue side, or in the blue areas, which it looks like that's fairly corridor-based, that is land use, but is this one that also should be cross-referenced for sure with the future land use?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, I mean, so. I don't know if you want to say that if it should be like an overlay on the developing area, but it seems like it's also...
We did add it as a supplemental... with the rental amendment we just did, we did reference this to recommend that anyone that's going through the program, you know, make sure that they're in an area of opportunity when they're, you know, producing these affordable units. And they, like Sean Kelly was talking about, these low-income housing tax credits that go through DSHA, they are very reliant, so they get a lot of points. So if they were to do a project in Lewis, for example, they would get an incredible amount of points because it's one of the prime areas they want to see those types of projects. So
It seems like it's a good map if we're going to incentivize things or give you bonus density or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This might be like the base map, for example, where that would go.
It's a good idea.
Use for consideration.
Yeah.
I think we have to be careful about putting it in the future land use as a map, because those maps are not too flexible once we adopt the comp plan.
Right.
But to use it for consideration.
We can reference
the map.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's
or
a
their
map
website.
That's sourced and identified from some other source.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
DHSA.
Yeah.
In fact, I think when we get to the future land use, we should remember to bring this map back up while we're discussing those growth areas.
They assured me that it's updated every year by DSHA. So there's nothing responsible.
Yeah.
We aren't responsible for doing anything related to this. It's just something that we can access and that they assure us that we'll be available. Data will constantly be updated. So if we just reference it, hopefully it would be.
Yeah, that's cool.
And we can try to reach out and actually get the GIS layers if we want to overlay it on top of our maps
when
we're looking at
future
land use.
May want to really do that.
To actually get the actual layers.
Okay. I can ask Karen.
When we get to drawing the maps, we'll want to do that.
Any other questions about this?
No, this is okay. I'm good with it.
Okay. All right. So also under the fair housing goal, encouraging members of appointed boards and commissions, elected officials, and new and existing county staff to attend annual fair housing training provided by the state.
Are we still, we're not under an obligation to do that.
We're done now.
Yeah.
Quite, so it's for the state.
Weird. Yes, as far as the mandatory trainings per the settlement agreement. However, we are, working with our internal HR department to just make sure that employees are, get trained in diversity and fair housing training, because it is still Delaware and federal law to uphold, and then also new employees orientation and existing employees and elected and appointed officials could take.
How long is that? I mean, before we were running all day from morning to afternoon. How long is that session now?
So that mandatory training was very specific to the settlement agreement.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a particular curriculum. Now it's more just sort of for the educational references to the actual law, not so much about.
But is it an hour or 5 hours?
We haven't.
The YouTube
finalized. Yeah, so that's the curriculum is still kind of up in the air. It won't be as lengthy. Ideally, it'll be half day.
Once you get it kind of ironed out, a little bit, we should review it as a commission, notwithstanding the comp plan process, and maybe we'll just include it on one of our agendas for some sort of a summary just as a commission.
Yeah.
And I guess I would just, encourage new members and staff. I think the new staff should receive some sort of training.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like everybody ought to have some training. I just don't know. When you say annual fair housing training provided by the state, that sounds like a specific.
Yeah,
curriculum.
It wouldn't necessarily be provided by the state, so that maybe can be that.
Just leave it as, as fair housing training.
Opportunities arise.
Okay.
I think I agree. I think we should have some requirement for fair housing training for everyone who hasn't had it some other way.
Yeah.
If you hold a real estate license, you've had fair housing.
Yeah. Oh, true.
New employees, new board, and commission members. I think for our own protection, we probably should do that in case this something comes up later.
Is that the thing we had last year?
Yes.
With the,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But it would be different. It would be
like a refresher.
Yeah. Yeah,
yes.
That was mandated.
Yeah.
So that was Brandy said that was curriculum approved and. Certain number of hours and everything else. So now we're on our own, but it's a good idea to have some,
Vince, I talked to you about an orientation for new commission members, and that would be something, I think, Bob, that would be good for orientation for new commission members.
Yeah.
But I also think the second step of that would be just have a refresher. It might be 10 or 15 minutes. It might be an hour, according to what's changed, what new has come up, what's new in discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be just an annual event to the commission. Maybe you can work on some kind of a program regarding
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
It's in our pretty much our
program. More work for Brandy.
Hey, you wanted another job. It's job security, Brandy. It's more secure than our jobs, trust me. Okay.
So with that, is the the interest in just new members or, and then refresher training as well?
Well, I think the refresher.
Yeah.
Yeah, just specific.
I think for the comp plan, we'll just talk about an annual refresher.
Everybody should have some training.
And then hopefully we'll develop some kind of a new member orientation process.
All right, we'll make it a little less specific, and then it can be worked out after the comp plan. All right, 9315, partner with stakeholders to provide training and technical assistance to municipal leaders and others about fair and affordable housing.
So is this where you're saying that, because municipal leaders, to me, that means towns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's where the county is partnering with
stakeholders to
talk with.
And you guys tried to partner with CDEC, or who was it?
SCAT,
yes,
probably.
We actually reached out to SCAT. And it was not successful. They weren't interested in receiving the training. However, we're sort of under an obligation by receiving federal funding and working with these towns that they be trained and have an awareness and understanding. So we want to, you know, continue to try and reach out and make that available. Before it becomes a Band-Aid of some sort, we want to just make sure that that's available to them. So we can always continue to partner in some way.
The SCAT has regular meetings, though, don't they?
I know. That's what we tried to offer it at a regularly scheduled meeting, mm-hmm. and we were told that no one voted in favor of doing it.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, we tried to make it as convenient as possible, and we'll, you know, we can certainly reach out in another avenue in terms of reaching out directly to staff of the towns versus, you know, the, I don't know.
That originally came to us from a meeting that DSHA had held, and there was a lot of interest from towns because they were facing things with some ordinances and some zoning things that were kind of getting to be in a gray area. So that's where it came from. So we just want to be sure that there's some way to provide that training if they're interested.
No,
well, certainly if we can be of any assistance at the county level, we should try to be of assistance, that's for certain.
Okay,
so we're good. Yeah.
9316, market available programs such as the assessment fee deferrals for nonprofits for development projects. Well, I understand it's just not a lot of nonprofits know about the deferrals.
Sorry, I don't know if you guys are even super familiar with it, but in the county code already, and I should have brought the reference to that, and Vince might have more specific, but we have basically nonprofits, as I understand it, are not charged any assessment fees. So, for example, impact fees as the owner of a property. I think that is the case for religious entities mm-hmm. as well. So in the case of like Habitat for Humanity, for example, they can proceed and get a building permit without having to pay that upfront impact fee, which in Ellendale, I think before the universal impact fee, it was like $8,000. So for a small nonprofit, that's a really big expense for one parcel. So by deferring that until the new owner, it'll freeze up a little bit of funding for them. But again, once they transfer the property to the new homeowner, it's immediately due and payable. So you kind of have to work that into the consumer's or the client's financing. But that's how I understand it to work. So.
Okay.
That's the end.
Can I add one that we should?
Sure.
Yeah, good.
I had one kind of as it made me think about it reading 9.3.1.5. I'll throw this out there. Partner with stakeholders on a regular basis to evaluate current affordable housing opportunities and to review possible improvements. You know, because so often, you know, we do these programs or ordinances in a vacuum, and this one particularly, there's, you know, with zoning, you know, a developer is going to just run numbers and see if it works or not, but typically. But if we're doing affordable housing projects, you know, we want to also look at, you know, the developer, can the developer do it, and does it work for the third-party homeowners that are going to be in there? And to see if that works, we talk plenty on the development side regularly, but we need to, it seems like, look regularly. And we've done this in the past with stakeholders in the affordable housing realm to see what we're doing right, what we're not doing right, and maybe what we can improve on. And I'm talking about, you know, Milford Housing and the groups that were here, but also we've had meetings with, you know, the well-known developers that come in front of us all the time that want to do this, and they have a lot of great ideas, and they know within their business model what may work, and there are a lot of times things that you know, we haven't even ever thought of, you know, just because we're not living in their world so much. So I think that's an important component of this particularly.
Can you give me the language again for that?
Sure. It's partner with stakeholders mm-hmm. on a regular basis to evaluate current affordable housing opportunities and to review possible improvements. I guess improvements in them, or if you want to add that. Because we've, like I said, we've done it and they've been really good conversations. And I think if it's in our plan, that'll kind of be a reminder to keep doing it. So.
I have a question about something. I don't know if it's probably not under our purview, but can we do something to support, Amy was talking about people finding other people that need housing, so that, you know, like a match service of, I need a roommate, we're all in the same area, how can we help match people up? So that, is there any match.com for housing or something? And again, that might not be under the purview of this, or.
Don't be careful about that.
Yeah.
Just. Well, I'm not aware. Unfortunately, I think we've kind of been directing efforts to this service called DelawareHousingSearch.com.org, where the state, and we are a regular financially supporting partner. It's kind of like the MLS system for for sale properties, but we created one for affordable rental properties because there's no similar service that exists. So it actually is not just affordable, it's market rate as well. So it's statewide. So that's kind of been our way because we don't have a means of identifying all of the units in the state that are rentals. This allows them to have sort of a free and efficient way of posting their units, but as far as matching, you know, tenants, I don't know if that's maybe a subset of that.
I didn't know if there was anything that a nonprofit was doing to try to help people find each other that way, or.
Yeah, right. If anything, it would probably be a subset of that website. So I can make a note and see if that's something they've considered or can explore. Yeah, sure.
I'm also support the idea of. Training and the, like we were saying, the money school, things like that. And maybe somebody comes up and they can test out, no, I don't need to go to this class. I do know how to run a checkbook, you know, or something like that. But I just, I used to cover homelessness and stories all the time, and it was a lot of people made just poor choices.
That's an interesting comment because, I mean, is there any system or method to identify strengths and weaknesses of people, whether it's a reading deficiency or mathematical deficiency or talents or abilities? Is there any kind of a pre-screening thing to identify where we should focus our help for people that, you know, are having difficulty?
Is that social work, not county?
Yeah. And I think you get into some tricky scenarios if you require certain things of, you know, folks going into affordable housing versus.
I don't know about a requirement. I think it's just trying to identify, you know, where we can help the most.
Mm-hmm. Are you saying, like, in other words, not the on the individual basis, but overall, what is the predominant issue that you would.
Yeah, just give everybody the same sort of litmus test, if you will, so that we could not to judge anyone. That's not the point. The point is, you know, why should I send somebody to counseling for finances if they're a math whiz? You know, I'm better off to put my resources if they're reading deficient or maybe they need glasses, for God's sakes. Maybe it's a physical disability.
Bob, you got something to say on this?
Well, yeah, what I'm thinking is that the a lot of the folks that testified this morning do that kind of stuff. I'm not a very, very active or a very good board member, but I'm on the board of Love Inc., and I'm very familiar with what they do and how they do it. And these private nonprofit groups have a good deal more flexibility than the county's ever going to have on doing stuff like that, because you know what will happen. Somebody will sue us and you know, or something. And they are doing those kinds of things. And it's funny you mentioned eyeglasses, because I run the eyeglass program for our Lions Club. We provide eyeglasses. And, I mean, this is like 100 or so pair a year. I mean, it's I get one or two, three, you know, applications every week now. So these groups are tuned into what people need. But supporting those activities is something I would like to see us do, because I think we want the world to know that it's important to us that we're gonna address the piece of this we can address, but we want the other pieces addressed by somebody, because it doesn't work if you don't have the whole package. And as I'm sure you found in your research, that rehabilitating homelessness is very expensive. It's a lot easier to keep them from being homeless, from becoming homeless, if you can. And a lot of these are some of it's living skills, some of it is bad choices, some of it is bad luck, bad circumstances, and so on. The folks that I'm most familiar with that have been very successful doing this is the Joseph House Village in Salisbury. It's a private nonprofit. It's run by an order of Catholic nuns, and it's been very effective, but it's expensive and time consuming to successfully rehabilitate homelessness. It's more than we can do, but the housing piece of it is probably a place where we can help. But I think we're fully within our bounds to encourage and support and ask for those other things to be done. Because if they don't happen, our little piece isn't going to be successful. It's important.
I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel or take ownership of anything, because we work with all these folks, and they do an excellent job of a holistic sort of comprehensive. So we can, I think, in whatever way, support those organizations that are going to do the
Work.
I
don't want to see us setting people up for failure. Like, oh, we've made affordable housing, and then.
I understand when they say housing first. I get that, and I understand why the transitional housing thing is falling out of favor and all that. But you can't be housing only. You can be housing first, but not housing only. If you don't do those other things, if you're not making sure that they have all the other resources they need, you're as you said, setting them up for failure. And we don't want to do that.
What do I write?
Well, and I'm thinking along that line, it's like it's the people who have the houses, like the needs and the wants from the impacted community survey that were done. It's the public is told the county, these are the priorities for us. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what they would like to do. And I think that's something that the county has some ability to help assist with. So if instead of focusing on what the other organizations are doing, can we look at that plan and see what are the things the county can do to help those communities and that those items that are being requested? Because I think some of it was maintenance and, you know, sidewalks and, you know, daycare facilities. I haven't looked at it in detail in a while, but, you know.
I think a lot of these goals and objectives already support, you know, we want to stick to what we know and what we do well and just kind of continue that and expand it, and then when we can support other agencies that also support that work is kind of
I definitely don't think we need to open a new department or anything like that, but
I understand.
During lunch we also talked back to that point about listing the names of the organizations in the plan, and Janelle had a great idea about how we're kind of hesitant to do that because maybe a new nonprofit will open up like next year and then they're not in the plan. So what Janelle suggested, which we are doing in the utilities chapter for the planning areas, is in the utilities chapter I said, you know, the engineering department of the county maintains a list of the planning areas and you can reference that office's map. So we could say in this chapter that the community development and housing department maintains a list of, you know, organizations. That way it's there, it's not specifically written in the plan, but it kind of ties together what they have. Do you think that covers our bases?
As long as, you all think. Yeah, let's just confirm with that, you know, with some of these groups that do the grant writing, that needs to check these boxes, because I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
But if I know we also have existing players in the community right now, that I wouldn't want to also harm their abilities to get funding based on future organizations.
Yeah,
so we can check
omit.
To see if that would.
Yeah.
And,
right.
But we also want to make sure they're comfortable with being published as well.
Right.
So.
I mean, I guess maybe a hybrid would be to list the ones we know about and then say for updates, see that office.
We're at the time of the year where they're preparing their applications now, so we get a lot of letters. And the two things they always ask for is plan consistency, is what they're asking is consistent with our plan, and then the community designation, that's a targeted area. That's the two forms they always want from us. So, I mean, that, as much so as just their name mentioned, may be of a benefit to them. So.
Okay. So we'll look into that and see.
Yeah.
I want to address that.
He's at lunch.
Oh, well, I still have a few more slides, actually.
No, okay. I was just trying to
on
anticipate.
Housing. Yeah, Hans is coming at 1:30.
Right, and we're trying to. He went to lunch.
Yeah, that's okay. We're good.
He's not allowed to eat.
No, we're not trying to rush you.
Oh,
we're
no,
just
we
trying
still
to give Hans a little lead time as we transition. As
yeah, I think he said he'd be here by 1:30.
Yeah.
So we still have a little bit more on housing, and then we'll switch over to utilities. Any other questions on these? So I wanted to show the goals, objectives, and strategies from the 08 plan to show what's been done or what we're tweaking to look at for the 2018 plan. So this was the objective in 2008, provide affordable housing options to the county's workforce earning 80% to 125% of HUD's area median income. And I think we have a broad enough objective in our plan about affordable housing. And Brandy, I think you said the threshold was 50% now, right? The strategy under that in 08 was support and evaluate the county's MPHU program, and I think we have that covered with our strategies. The next one was encourage manufactured homes, which I talked about earlier as a big part of the 08 plan. And the strategy under that was comprehensively review the county's zoning ordinance, subdivision code, and other relevant county regulations so that provisions could be revised that may unduly constrain the development of well-designed manufactured, and that was done, right?
That was done. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, the third one, encourage private for-profit developers to undertake affordable housing projects. County Council will continue to expand relationships with private developers to promote the concept. It's pretty broad, and I think we have it covered.
Mm-hmm.
Decrease substandard housing and preserve the affordable housing stock in the county. Utilize federal, state, and county funding as efficiently as possible to try to satisfy names on the waiting list for rehab and demolition.
I think we had some strategies to identify
substandard
housing, and,
mm-hmm.
and I can't remember the other two or three. In that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably covered, Alexis.
Okay. Create moderately priced rental unit program to support the growing rental demand through the county. So that was directly came out of the plan.
It was done by ordinance, but we're going to review those programs to try
mm-hmm.
to update.
Yep. Okay, so that is it for housing.
So there were three goals or five goals.
Yeah, I think we won.
Well, Alexis, I would think that I think it's too much to do today, but I'd like you to do a line by line comparison to what Amy's presented.
Yeah, we plan
okay,
to.
and then just after you do that review, then get whatever you have to the commission so that we can read through it, and then we'll have to put it on to another agenda for discussion in the future.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm kind of just getting through it now, and I think we do cover a lot of it. Like here's something about the accessory dwelling units, the garage,
yeah, I saw
the apartments,
some that were duplicate.
The tiny houses.
There's a lot of overlap, but there are a couple of
things that we.
Yeah, I think that's what we want to look for is identify things that, don't match. And the things that do match, just look and see. Maybe they worded something better than we've worded
right,
it.
Right,
and
I'll
bring
it back
to you. Open to new language. And then simultaneously, I think we can start to at least outline and start the draft on the element.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to mail it to the commission in very draft form, so that we can start to get feedback from individual commission members to you, okay?
The next one you're going to see is the recreation and open space. I just got that, so
okay.
You'll be seeing
be
that one
next.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. I mean, the sooner we get it to the commission members, the more they can read it and think about it.
Yep, they're coming out.
We'll go through those.
Do you think, was there anything else that we didn't cover with housing from what you heard from the public comment? Like I said, we're still going to look through all this from Amy and see if there's any holes, but was there anything on your personal
just make sure when you come
housing?
Back to add that additional goal about the temporary, you know.
We'll figure out a term for it.
Yeah, whatever we call it. I just, like I said, that was so much of what we heard today.
Public comment at 2:00 for the housing element?
It's for anything.
Anything. For anything you want.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Are we good?
Yeah, that's it for housing. Hans is not available yet.
I don't
so we can
think
either
we can do the public comment until we get to the hour because of the advertising. But what we can do is while we're waiting, yes, can we talk about future meetings or whatever while we're.
Yes.
What time was Hans supposed to be here?
1:30.
Oh, okay.
So we can go ahead and get that conversation out of the way. Mm-hmm. And when will we have the updated economic development that we discussed the other day?
Yeah, I talked to the sub, and he needs about 1.5 to 2 weeks to make all the edits.
And so we have
and then
to.
You wanted me to send it to Vince
well,
and Janelle, and then
to myself, Kim and Vince, right?
Okay.
And Kim and Vince are going to do their thing to try to make sure it's tight.
Yeah.
And then once they get done, you know, we'll see if there's major edits or minor, and we'll get
and
it to the commission.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So just a reminder, because I asked, is this in everybody's?
Yeah, it
so
was.
There is an economic development one that you all got in your packet for today, but that's been superseded because we're going back to the sub-consultant. So in other words, don't spend your time reading it because it's not the latest, greatest, and most updated.
Is there any problem emailing it to all of us?
No, we'll get it as
soon as we get it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I know you guys are kind of got a working group going on, which is fine. I just but whatever the next iteration is, if we could all get it,
we'll look at it. It'll probably be in about two weeks.
Do your thing.
Yeah, we're looking at it for Kim and me on, or Kim and I. I don't know what is it. Kim and me.
Kim and
I. As we're editing things, I should know the grammar that I'm using when I speak about it. But
don't bring
anyway,
relatives into this.
Jeez. That's a horrible joke. The main thing we're going to try to do is shrink it from 40 pages down to some lesser number. When we went through it,
it was,
I know
that
you
would
all,
be a worthy endeavor.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was. There was some good information in it, but it was.
It was a lovely thesis.
Yeah. So.
I mean, you told me it was a PhD working.
Yeah,
I'm like,
PhDs that are consultants.
Yeah.
Now it's a lot
of PhDs there.
Well, I'm hoping that after today, utilities and my first read, and I'm open to other opinions, are going to be relatively minor changes. So I'm hoping that we can at least put that on a future agenda for potential, you know, posting.
Yeah, I think that could be on our next agenda, depending on what you guys have to say today about it. Right. We'll come back with housing.
Housing can
next
come
one.
Back.
We got to do future land use. We got to come back to that. So I think that
we
should
do.
Be our
Josh,
I think we probably want to start getting into future land use.
Yeah, that's going to be the primary.
I think that's going to take a couple of meetings.
I think so. And we probably should go ahead and post that for our next meeting.
So dates for the next meetings,
well,
and then we can kind of figure out.
Yeah. I've got it, unfortunately.
Does everyone have their
conflicts
calendars?
August.
So, Marty, I know at a few previous meetings, non-traditionally, they've done public comments after an element. I think some of the public want to know if they could do their public comment now, and then there could be another public comment period at 2 o'clock.
I don't particularly mind it, but, I mean, it's I'm sure. Come on up.
Yes, you don't have to wait.
Thank you very much.
That was the lobbying.
Right?